97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hello and welcome into this week's podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Tony Colombo. I am here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews.
Yeah, buddy.
And sticking around from this week's radio show is our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory. Jess, thanks for putting a little OT in for us.
No problem.
So we were on the show talking a little bit about, and this is something we've discussed on the show for a few weeks now, that, you know, Joe Biden had said that the Second Amendment, it was something that they were going, he was going to address on day one. And day one came, and he took a whole bunch of actions. It's something like it's over 50 now executive orders and executive actions that they that the Biden administration has done. But surprisingly, to many of us, none of them have addressed anything when it comes to gun rights or the Second Amendment or anything in those areas, law enforcement or anything in those areas. And we're all sort of waiting for the other shoe to fall, as they say. And on the air, we were talking a little bit about, Jess, you'd alluded to some industry conversations that you guys have internally. You don't have to give up all the secrets unless you want to, of course. But
go ahead.
But yeah, but what is the mindset there at Razorback Armory and within the firearms industry? Do you have an idea of what actions may be taken first or what could be coming down the line, and how do you prepare for those things? Like, how does that track?
Well, I mean, so there's a lot of rumor. There's a lot of things that are being floated out there. I think some of it is pretty solid. I think some of it's pretty far-fetched, but I definitely believe that they're going to do something. They made too many promises to that effect. Mm-hmm. But I think they're also learning from history that you just don't write an executive order and get your wide sweeping gun control or anything that they're looking for. I think they're going to go at it fairly systematically, but they've got to do it right. It can't get tied up in court and thrown out immediately. But one thing that is going around the industry right now, it's called House Bill 127, has a lot of pieces in it, expanded background checks. One part of it is basically they don't want you to be able to purchase things over the internet. There's a lot of different key pieces that are in that bill, but a lot of them, I mean, it would be a definite blow to the industry itself. The background checks, which we kind of touched on a few weeks back, that is something that if they kind of open that up, I mean, there's portions of that that want you to have a mental health background check before you can buy a gun.
Wow.
And then you start getting into HIPAA. I mean, it crosses a lot of lines, and, you know, and there's people in different like healthcare communities, firearms communities and stuff that, you don't tell your people your health, record or anything. There's protections in place for that. Well, now you go in a gun shop and you're going to give them your health records. You're going to give them stuff to say you're fine. I mean, it's pretty far fetched. And then there's some other things that they floated about, re-registration and regulation of certain firearms or changing, changing how, when you bought something, now it's something else. So you have to re-register it, and they're going to, make it an NFA item and basically pass on the tax on the first re-registration, but re-register that item. I mean, these are all things that aren't solid. They're not etched in stone or not put in ink yet, but they're floating them around. I know from different manufacturers, they have had talks of if a high capacity magazine ban goes into effect, how do they switch out their 17 and 15 round magazines and their pistols to 10? How do they kind of go about their assault platform or their black weapons programs where their AR or assault type platform stuff? How do they, refine those attributes so they're not inside of whatever ban, whatever parameters the ban comes up with? How do we, work around that or still be able to sell certain things? And they've floated ammo tax before. I mean, that's something that's kind of crazy. And in magazine, the craziest one to me is the magazine tax, because they're non-serialized and there's so many millions of them out there. I don't know how you'd ever tax somebody for what they have. But and we're not, I mean, industry-wise, we're not taking
about
it lightly.
A bullet
I mean,
tax.
We're sitting there looking at it.
Tax,
I mean,
on that, every that's, bullet.
That's what they want. I mean, that has been proposed. There is a tax per round, which is crazy.
Wow. I was being funny. That's insane.
I know. But see, that's the thing. It's one of those things where you see it and you're like, oh, they could never do that. And then you're sitting back now going, well, maybe they can. But like 52 executive orders in less than 30 days. I mean, it's a scary time to an extent, but as far as the industry, we're very resilient. As far as Razorback Armory standpoint is, we're just waiting to see what the rules are so we can play the game.
Yeah.
You know, we're waiting to see how we need to go forward. But until then, we're going to keep doing
That's
what
well
we've
said.
Done and just keep going forward and then see what, see how we, navigate and negotiate those waters. But, if my crystal ball was to give me the answers, boy, I'd be set up for whatever came. But I'm just kind of in the same boat as everyone else.
Well, you gotta feel thankful, and we all feel thankful that we live in the Midwest, that we're not near each coast where, the gun laws are so strict and ridiculous. And, oftentimes when we talk to you, whether it's on the show or on this podcast, we talk about, the manufacturers, the ammo people, all these, people are going under, they could go under new restrictions. Have you and your team considered the thought that, oh my gosh, what would we do if we didn't have Razorback Armory?
Yeah, I was going to open a radio program, call it Second Amendment. No, that's already taken.
Genius idea.
Yeah, I know, I got this great idea for a radio show. I think if it ever got that far down the road, that this country doesn't look the same. I think there's so many other things that would have had to have gone south or sideways. With it being the Second Amendment, and firearms are ingrained in our history. I mean, it's something that will always be around, that you just cannot get rid of them. And so there will be an industry. Like I said, we don't know what the industry looks like or what it would be, but there would be an industry to maintain, sell, and get those out to people. We just need to know what that looks like. It's something there will be something coming from gut feeling to me. I think by spring, I think that's kind of a short, short timetable, but,
so what do you think it'll we'll be, Jess? Something. You just touched on, like magazine sizes, you were talking about manufacturers considering, changing things up so they could fit certain magazine sizes. The high capacity magazine is one thing that we've heard them discuss. Is that the thing they go after first, you think, or
I think that goes with a full sweeping, just like they're doing with all these executive orders, and it's overwhelming almost to the point where people are like every day they wake up and they can't believe it. I think the same thing is coming for gun control. I think they're going to do a very broad sweeping. They're going to go after ammo. They're going to go after re-registration. They're going to go after high capacity magazines, and they're going to ask for the world. And the beauty of a negotiation, if you will, if you go into a car dealer, you go anywhere and you're trying to negotiate something, you're going to ask for everything, but you'll be happy with half of it because that's really what you wanted. I think that if they ask for everything and they get certain key pieces, they will be happy because it will really disrupt the industry. And I think that is probably a tactic we may see. I think that they're going to ask for, like when you said ridiculous, I'm going to tax every round of ammo. We put that in there. We put that on the table so that if they take it off the table, it looks like you gained something, but you really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't win.
You're like exactly right.
When I say, hey, you know what, Tony, I'm not going to tax you on that ammo. I'm going to let you keep your guns. I'm going to need you to re-register them, and I'm going to need you to do this and that. And you're like, well, at least I didn't lose at least I didn't lose on the ammo. And
such
I get to
a great
my gun.
Point. Great yeah. point. Yeah, that's exactly the strategy they use.
That's and that is honestly, this is purely speculation on my point. Nothing etched in stone. That's the kind of the path that I see we are possibly on. But again, they could change everything. I mean, they could change everything, come out tomorrow and just start executive ordering and doing things, which I don't think are as solid. I don't think they're as long term that they want. I think they want to get their ducks in a row and really, they want to make this hurt. They want to really solidify when they say they're coming after gun violence and they're doing it for the kids, and they're going to spin it in a way that makes it look like, hey, if you're for guns, you're against America. but it's truly, you know, not the way we see it as you know, Second Amendment people, you know, people in the gun culture, people who want to exercise our freedoms, you know, and our American rights. It's going to be totally anti what our views, if you will.
Jess, last week we had Virginia Cruder from the Daily Caller on, and although I thought she was Alex Salzman from the Missouri Gun Coalition, but anyway, she made a really good point that, you know, we haven't had, God forbid, any more, but any recent, you know, mass shootings or school shootings,
and that
you know, maybe the Democrats are just waiting for something like that.
Yeah, I made
the comment on the air. I said I would not want to play chess with even Virginia, because she was playing three or four moves ahead of me in chess, and I just didn't even think of something like that. They're waiting for something.
Oh yeah, the worst thing that could happen in the gun community right now is if there was a mass shooting, and the person used an AR, the evil black weapon that they don't like, and used high capacity magazines. You know, and just basically took a lot of the things that they want to get rid of and put it forefront in the news media, and they demonized it really heavily. And then that's just more fuel or ammunition for them to say, oh, you can't have these. You're not responsible enough to use this. You know, that would be horrible.
How about we look at Chicago every freaking weekend or St. Louis every weekend? Come on. You know, if they could figure out a way to get rid of the guns out of the bad guys' hands to begin with, that would be the goal. And other law-abiding gun owners like us, we wouldn't have a problem. But we do have a problem, but it's not from legally purchased firearms from places like Razorback Armory.
No, it's and that's a point that really gets blown over. And when you see when they start talking about points of why they need to give gun control, it's because, oh, look at all these shootings, look at all that. Okay, well, were those legally possessed weapons? When you follow that track, which is boring, you know, it's not sensational. You know, it doesn't grab headlines in the news. But when you follow that track, no, a lot of those are stolen firearms. A lot of those are felons in possession of firearms. I mean, those are people who are in society, who are kind of on that outskirt, who are willing to take life by carjacking or robbing or stealing or doing something that, you know, traditional, not a productional member of society. They're not doing things to better our society. They're living out there preying on people who, you know, possibly are just going about their lives and trying to be, you know, good citizens, you know, go to work, go to home to your family, you know, cook dinner, you know, watch TV, go back to work the next day kind of thing. And, you know, they get hit by that portion of society, but because they used a firearm, we're not demonizing that part of society. It was the gun. Oh, the gun was the bad part of that. And it's really not. I mean, the gun's a tool. You know, if we didn't have firearms, they would be still preying on these people using a different tool, look at Europe. People get stabbed over in Europe more than anything else because they don't have guns over there.
It's
not going to stop bad people from being bad. And by making new gun laws, you're only regulating law-abiding citizens. Mm-hmm. You're not regulating the people who are outside the law.
And who always stops? They're making a ton of money on it. Yeah, and who always stops the bad guy with a gun?
Another good guy.
A good guy with a gun. That's exactly right. Jess, you guys out at Razorback are known for the suppressor business. How is that going? And what else is anything hot right now? Is there one particular thing that your customers are really buying up right now? Is there a fad in the industry?
So, well, suppressors are still running incredibly strong. Last time we talked, I was telling you about, you know, like how everybody thought that, you know, January 20th was a magical day, you know, or something, and they needed to get everything done by then. I think now that everything has really been solidified and they're waiting on this new gun control, gun legislation, whatever might be coming, they're wanting to get their paperwork filed with the federal government. So we've seen a massive push on suppression, NFA items. And then, you know, still the normal, you know, people coming in, you know, looking at what's going on around them, it's surprising even to me still that the amount of first time gun buyers that are coming in it's insane. I would have thought that by now myself and every other gun dealer in St. Louis would have sold a gun to everybody, but apparently we haven't. And there's still plenty of first time gun buyers out there. But you know, and they're looking for, you know, that peace of mind. They're looking for a, you know, a semi-automatic handgun or a shotgun or something to defend themselves and their loved ones if necessary. And, you know, also, you know, then we try to, you know, let them know that, hey, this is not only for this. You can get to, we can go get you to a range, you know, get you some training on this. You can actually, you know, go shoot and enjoy this as a sport, you know, and as a fun activity you can do with, you know, some of your friends or loved ones. You know, if you guys want to go to the range and shoot for a couple hours a day, just, you know, see who's the best shot, or, you know, and kind of hone that craft and that skill of shooting, so that hopefully they enjoy it and they're not, you know, just buying a gun because of out of fear, out of panic, that they actually kind of get welcomed into this community and see that, you know, hey, it is something that you can defend your life with. Absolutely. And that's first and foremost, but you can also enjoy it and use it as a sport and get more out of it than waiting for a bad guy to come at you. You know?
Yeah, nope. Absolutely. And the more first time gun buyers there are, first time gun owners there are out there, hopefully the more people that are realizing how important their Second Amendment rights are and will be willing to stand up and protect them. Go ahead, Bo.
I do have one more.
Fire away. No pun intended.
One more. Okay, so Jess, I watch Phil Robertson Unashamed podcast on YouTube, on Blaze TV, whatever, and they advertise something that is something you put in the barrel of your firearm, or maybe it's actually in the chamber, and you can like do target practice in your house. Do you know this technology, and can you speak about it?
Oh boy.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So there are several different mechanisms.
Let's be careful when we're doing that game.
So we're all going over to Tony's later. We're going to load our firearm. Yeah. No, so there's several different things. Some of them are actually a laser cartridge that goes into the barrel, and you have a target on the wall, and you can shoot it, and it actually projects a laser. We actually rep a company called Mantis X, which it shows you everything you're doing with the gun. And it's really neat technology because, like sports trainers, where they're, you know, they're doing a certain move and they've got to like swing a golf club or they're going to throw a ball or something, how the mechanics in their arms move. This shows you the mechanics on how you present the weapon and if you're moving the weapon at the time of firing. So if you're, let's say you're flinching or you're pulling off or you're doing something mechanically, so the gun's firing straight, okay, but mechanically, you trying to get that gun on target, you're moving, it shows you that you're moving and it helps you correct that movement so you can become a better shooter. Also, if you're looking at drawing, like you're wanting to get into IDPA or some of these things where you know, you draw your weapon and you shoot multiple targets, it gives you split time. It gives you all this raw data that you can use to, you know, if you're in a certain discipline of shooting, you can work on, you know, better times. If you're just trying to be a better shooter and steady the weapon on target, it shows you if you've got a flinch or if you're pulling off. Really neat technology. There is a lot of that out there now with ammo prices being so high. I'm seeing a lot more people, you know, they want to use their firearm, but it's expensive to go shoot it, right? Well, you can buy this device that you literally doesn't, you know, you're not shooting this, you're not buying more. You just put it on your gun and you're able to do dry fire and some different training and you know, working through some drills and things, if you will, with your firearm safely, you know, because it's not loaded. You have this device on it and you can kind of train at home or wherever you'd like without having to shoot ammo and kind of better yourself and kind of hone the craft and the skill.
Great stuff as always, Jess. Great information. Great conversation. Love to have you on. We'll have you back on again really, really soon. In the meantime, if people want to learn more about Razorback Armory online and or come and see you in person, what are the best ways to do so?
Certainly. We're Razorback Armory, 12072 Manchester Road, half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road in De Pere, right next to the tennis shop. Make sure you tell us that Bo sent you, so we give him his credit on that. We got a little tally next to the cash register.
Do you now?
And then like social, all of our social media is Facebook, Instagram. You can always go by our website or email us. We'd love to hear from you or just stop by.
Yeah, if you haven't been out to Razorback Armory yet, you need to get out there and check them out. Like we said, especially if you have questions about suppressors or you're looking for that business or anything else in the gun industry, they have you covered out there at Razorback. Jess, we appreciate you and everything you guys do for us here at the station and the show.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
You bet. Talk to you soon. All right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast exclusive. If you haven't done so already, make sure you download this week's radio show as well, as we put out two podcasts of this show each and every week. And we appreciate all of you for listening and downloading those podcasts. Helps us out a whole lot. For producer Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Stay warm, boys.